I can hear me. Mm-hmm.
Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Come on.
Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Wali Ayu Bilal, the Halal Industry Do For Self. We are grateful, thankful to Allah to be able to have this opportunity once again to speak to whoever hears this message, whether they're hearing it today, hearing it the next day, later in the year, whatever. We thank Allah for that opportunity. And I'd like to begin with Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. In our speaking from the mic of AM360 is an honor, no question about that. And we don't propose to tell everybody something they don't know. Our goal is really to find those who think alike. In other words, if I'm talking or listening, if I'm listening to someone, let me go to me first. And I don't know what they're talking about, what is the reason for me to listen? If I'm listening, I want to learn something. So I need to understand it. Allah said to us in the Quran, speak to the people in their language. That's not just national language, you know, nationality. But if I were talking all day long about building a car from the inside or some technical thing to people who don't have a clue what I'm talking about, it almost seemed like that would be a non-starter. When we look at the humanity, we can ask the question, who is it that will do for humanity? Most of us could say, well, Allah. That's not the answer I'm looking for right now. We all know that. When I'm looking at the answer of who will do for humanity, it's humanity that will do for humanity. Allah assigned us, all of us, whether we were slaves throughout our life, whether we were kings, regardless of what we were, regardless of the color of our skin, where we were born, He gave an assignment to humanity, starting with one man, one woman, but He gave an assignment to create a certain type of life, activity, knowledge, information throughout the earth where we live. We see things that's happening in magnificent ways that only God could do. Put one man here. Where did he come from? He didn't have a mother. He didn't have a father. Then put a wife there for him. And they become, in themselves, they become life, complete life for the whole humanity. We know them as Adam and Eve, Adam and Hawa. But regardless what names they got, we know every human being got the same story. That it started, and the Quran says that, started with a man and a woman, and humanity's numbers grew to live upon this earth. Not forever, but live upon this earth until they leave here. They leave here, they got two places to be sent. I pray for the majority of us, the place is the paradise. Because he said you live there and you're there forever and we don't have the problems that we had here as living human beings. We have blessings. We'll be able to say with the good things of life that we've seen already, we can say in the paradise, well, I had this before. Allah is reminding us of the good that we see here, we'll see there. Prayerfully, it'll be many of us seeing our family members, our friends, our loved ones. And no doubt, some strangers. I'm saying this for a reason in the way that I want to deliver my discussion today here as a people, African Americans, descendants of slaves. We appear to be shut out of progress for a period of time. Do you think anything, anybody could have shut us out if it wasn't Allah's design that we be shut out? Allah is working the program all the time, if I could call it that. The program for this human being as a body of people, descendants of slaves, that is, our foreparents, slaves, and we're their descendants, there was a goal, a destination for us as a people. That wasn't necessary to do for Allah to prove he's God, to allow to happen to prove he's God, but it was part of the design. The design was for us, and as I always like to give the story as it was, we were made slaves through our foreparents who were Muslims. And I add that because there's history in the libraries that could be found to prove that people such as the Amish and the Quakers request that the slave masters, if they had anything black as a slave, and I'm saying anything because that's how they treated us like a thing. They didn't treat us like we were human. If they had anything black that was Christian, they had to let them go. And as we know, where there was royalty, they brought somebody over that was maybe one of the king or one of the prince son or daughter, whatever the case may be, they had to send them children back. And there might have been some other others that we don't know nothing about. But as a majority, those of us who remained slaves, our foreparents, they were Muslims. And Allah's plan was have everything on our mind, everything on our heart, our forefathers, erased. And there was a people, white-skinned, but nonetheless, they exist, and they didn't mind doing that. They didn't mind beating us for no reason, killing us for no reason, etc. But that was all in Allah's plan. And here's another beauty about even that. Allah allowed us to be a people that know they did that to us, and as a majority, we could turn around and just start doing something to them. But as a majority, we're open to forgiveness. We're open to overlooking it. I don't talk to anybody. I don't recall talking to, I would say maybe a handful in my lifetime that want to get people back for what they did to our forefathers. Mm-hmm. Y'all ever talk to anybody? No, not at all. Allah has blessed us. That's all I'm saying. Allah has blessed us with a job that we could accept the torment that went on to our foreparents and become the human being that Allah wants that helps humanity.
You see Allah's hand on
this. His hand's on it. You back up. That's right. And I'm saying it for a reason, because when we look at the world today, humanity seems to have lost the course. Mm-hmm. When we look at our Jewish brothers and sisters who approve of the killing of innocent people, we see they lost their way. Humanity is taught by humanity. We follow, we serve Allah, God, no question about that. But we teach each other, or we take from each other. And as again, let's look at the world today. The world needs something done, and Allah's telling us what it needs done. It's not for him to just destroy everybody and create a new people, but he gave an assignment. Now this stuff ain't happening like Allah didn't know it was happening or going to happen. Why it's happened, Allah wants us, the humanity, to see certain things and seek certain rewards. When we look at the Muslims who caused the problem over there in the East, I constantly believe, I was in a war before. I know what it is to have an insider give us some information against their own brothers and sisters. I know what that's like. Oh, we didn't see it every day, but we've seen it enough. I believe from those who first got attacked upon the Jewish families and Jewish society by Hamas or whatever the names are, I believe they had somebody's hand in there directing them. When we went to Vietnam, we couldn't just, my first night, I've told it many times, my first night in Vietnam, they told us we got to go out on an ambush thing. Just got there, never been in Vietnam once in our life. Never been in a war. Shotguns and all those things. Heard explosions because you get trained in America on safe grounds. But when we landed that night, when we got on the base that night, we had no idea that we was going to have to go back out to an area we ain't know nothing about with a map and somebody as American as we are pointing in the direction of which way we got to go, and we'll be safe. We almost had a shootout just on that conversation because our team didn't want to go out. But war is in a way that you have somebody set up people, and sometimes it works and sometimes it don't. But when I look at those who went over and blew up and killed innocent people that started this battle that's over there. I can't help but to believe and understand that someone from the Jewish community set their own people up.
Sacrificed.
They sacrificed them for the bigger picture, as they would say. And the bigger picture is what? That land that the Palestinians are living on is loaded with billions of dollars worth of oil, fuel, under the land. For them, the people were worthless, but the land was worth everything.
Land was worth more than the people.
The land was worth more than people, yeah. And they're proving it still today because they're killing. They're killing people as much as they want. And nobody seems to be able to stop them. Yes, Biden can speak to it a little bit. America can speak to it a little bit. But they are on their goal, their quest.
Mm.
Imagine somebody right now in any city that we are in, myself here in Philadelphia. I know where the subways are throughout the city, the ones that ride above the ground and the ones that ride below, throughout Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody tell me my enemy right now is on the end of the north part of Broad Street Subway, which is Olney Avenue, and you can get him because he's underground. And I blow up the whole neighborhood because somebody said, you know that ain't real. And we see the blowing up of the houses and everything. And they're being told, babies, children, women. I'm saying all this for a reason. Allah wants humanity to show humanity how to serve him. The humanity that's doing all this, they've been doing this kind of stuff for the longest. You would think after the Jewish community was attacked by Hitler, they would be protecting, trying to protect other people, mankind, that's right.
Right.
Because they know what it felt like to be despised and hated for no reason other than the fact that they are Jewish community. The Muslims, we don't find nowhere in Scripture that it tells us to just go kill innocent people. But the Jews don't find it either, nor do the Christians. But humanity speak the word of God, but don't follow it.
Nice.
So Allah has allowed there to be a mixed company of worshipers claiming to be more sincere than the other. But someone got to be a reminder. And again, I'm saying all this for a reason. I'm saying this for a reason, no question about it. This is not just something that I'm just kicking out thinking I got something heavy. I'm saying something, God willing, that helped our humanity come alive, as we did in the days of the nation. We can see that we influenced things. We weren't the greatest things in the world, but we influenced things. So right now we're going to take a PSA.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows: the American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network, Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, the Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Intrafaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the Intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Assalamu alaikum. Here is Bashir of the Halal Industry Do For Self. I'm going to read from the 21st Surah in the Quran, Ayats 33, 34, and 35. It is He who created the night and the day, and the sun and the moon. All the celestial bodies swim along each in its rounded course. We granted not to any man before thee permanent life here. If then thou shouldst die, would they live permanently? Every soul shall have a taste of death. And we test you by evil and by good. By way of trial, to us must ye return. Join us every Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. One edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wale Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Zinc, and co-hosts James Bashir and Nick Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Zinc is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self, to build the model community. Connect at am360.org in 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org, Pan Corporation, Community-Wide Shore Conference at cwsc.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Yes, thanks, Brother James.
Nick Muhammad.
Halal Industry, Do For Self. Ramadan Mubarak. I'd like to just comment on our experience this week at the Masjid during Ramadan. Doing the iftars, Jumar, and whatnot. What happened, or how it's been happening, that we had a influx, abundance of youth migrated to the Masjid, the Philadelphia Masjid, Sister Claire Muhammad. And it was stated that none of the Masjids all over the city had any youth in there, because all of them was out at Philadelphia Masjid. It's almost like it was one of those snapshots or whatever they flash, yeah. And all the people, they was meet at the park. That was Sister Claire Muhammad Park. And they came, It was dropping off. People were dropping off. It's like they was falling out the sky. It was so many. Mm-hmm. And I went back and thought about how Allah said that the people were going to come and grow. And that's how they was. Now, I'm on the front door, so I'm witnessing this, and I'm looking at them, and I'm more excited because here's something that Allah said was going to happen, and it's happening. That's the success. Allah says it happened. I bear witness to that. So then now, the next part is how you going to deal with them. You can't deal with them like we were probably dealt with, because they had to be about
13, 14, 15. Now, they're coming from school now. They're coming from wherever school they're coming out. They just came. And it was a sight in the numbers. But I've learned that we have to respect them. We have to treat them, approach them like we would approach anybody else. The Lord said approach everyone with a lowly spirit. Humble ourselves to them. Be kind to them. And we got a nice response. I did, at least I did. I got a nice response back from them from that. I didn't go by what I was looking at because if you'd have seen them, they had the turban, what they call tied a turban over their head. You know, one had a prayer rug. Not one, but many of them had prayer rugs on their head. You know, what does that mean? I said, well, I'm going to let that go. I'm going to let that go later on, you know. Then they had, what is it, they wrapped around wrapping around, you know. I call it wrapping a towel around, you know. But, again, this is what I'm looking at. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, man, boy, they're confused. They don't know. They just want to look the part. It was like it's a fad, you know. We're sitting here, you might have watched your brother, your big brother, how he dressed, and you're going to try to imitate his dress. That's how I took it, because they don't have a clue. They don't know nothing about Islam, per se, but they wanted to look it, all of them, all of them. You know, and like I say, they was young. And I'm planning on doing all kinds of things as far as setting stuff up for them. Because they're hungry. They look like they're hungry. Because they are the brothers and sisters and cousins of somebody probably sitting up in jail telling them how to act or how Islam's supposed to be. And I can tell them yes, just like the man said earlier, everybody, your destination to the Islam to serve Allah, everybody has their own way of getting there. And whatever you was put in front of you, you have to digest it and lead towards what the Lord wants. What we're going to have to do with the people that taught them, we're going to have to explain it. You know, we're not competing against each other to get to what the Lord wants. We're striving. We're struggling to get there. We have to go back and say we're not competing, like I said. We mentioned earlier that we was talking earlier that Satan is the one have you competing. Allah says that we everyone is Allah said that losing my train of thought on this. But I'll get back to it. But again, we still have to strive to work together. Allah made us different. That's what I was trying to say, so we can learn from each other. Society makes us compete against each other. And if you look at all some competitive sports and all that, all of those gentlemen hate each other in baseball, basketball, football. From their rivalry, they compete with each other. They had to lie, cheat, and steal, or all that to get accomplished whatever they did, and it left a bad taste in their mouth. So that's why we can't be competing. Lord said we humble ourselves, respect each other, and share what we know, share what we have, because that's what's going to elevate everybody to the level that we can function with a large name. That's what we have to do, from my perspective. We have to be able to sit there and talk with each other. You can't talk with each other if you can't respect each other, if you don't respect it. You can't talk with each other if you're not being fair and honest. That's why we come to the masjid to get information, to get inspiration, to help us go out and deal with things in society. The battle is out there in society. It's not in the masjid. That's where you can come and relax, rejuvenate, rejoice. That's where we come in. I know I come in the mass. I love coming in the masjid. And with the youth coming through, and even in heightening it now, because we can see that we got our work cut out. And the only thing, the best thing that we can give them is a model, an example of how we go about doing it. They came in, all of them asked some questions. You know, they want to know how to pray. They want to know how to do wudu. They want to know all these things. And you got some sisters and brothers, youngsters, is sharing that information with them, those who want them. But the vast majority of them is still out in the park. So sometimes we got to go out there and chase them out of the park or around the prayer time, tell them to come in on the prayer. And I'm sure they appreciate it. Because, again, they feel as though they are interacting with the Muslim community. Because I don't know how they are in school. I'm sure it's probably pandemonium in school. But we have to get them to get away from that street. Because that street corrupts their attitude or affects their attitude. And then come to next year, we all know our people, African-American descendants of slaves, they got a lot of stuff on their heart, heavy stuff on their heart. And only how you can relieve that is coming through, leading with what all Almighty God and Lord wants. That's all we can do. Because, again, this is our time. This is our time, and the Lord has already prepared us to give us our youth back. Come Friday, or came Friday, it was 1,000 people out at the masjid.
Literally,
1,000 people. Post Juma in Ramadan. Huh?
200, 300
coming up. Yeah. And that was a sight to see. Yeah. And then we handled, well, as far as Philip and Nashie, we handled 500, 600, 700. But this was a thousand. It was inspiring and inspiring that, you know, we want to do better now. There were some that didn't like it. Or didn't appreciate it because it was too many kids. So it looked like, what is it?
It's almost 627.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
706. The mic is open.
627. As-salamu alaykum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Brother Muhammad. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And this month is very important that we adhere to what Allah has told us to do in the Quran and every revelation before the Quran, before we let the whispers of the shaitan make us deviate and contaminate our own salvation sent to us by our Creator. And then, like this program here, it's so appreciated that Allah has given us over and over again the opportunity to establish a halal reality on this earth. Because that
that's
is the
right.
only thing that really exists.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is a unofficial reality, as we know, falsehood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to give our children at home. We have to go back to basics, being them chaperone. We get up off our couches and take them to the rec center while we monitor them while they're there and take them to the whatever content to help them recreate themselves, recreation.
Mm-hmm.
With guidance right there beside them, their parents sitting there, you know, sharing the halal treats with them while they're enjoying themselves and playing together with other Muslim children. Invite the community to go out with you. Let's go over to the park. Tell some of the other family members in your area to let's be at the park. We got to let our kids do something, and it's doing it to show them that they have a share in it. And it's a purified share. It's a allowed share. And I think what you're doing should be echoed by all the imams in our association. I don't like to use that word, but I'll just say it at this point. You know, to come together, ensure, and establish this halal reality. But see, we done got so deviated our own self and so attracted by the shaitan, chasing after our intellect, something we already got. We were created with this intellect. This ain't nothing new, you know. And what we need to do is put it in deeds and actions again and build a foundation to where these kids can come back to reality, because we're there watching them, telling them no. No, you can enjoy yourself now, you know. And then any other children who are surprised to see us sit down here with our children, and they can see the love in our heart and reality and the care and the protection that we offer them when they come around. And if they seem all right, but if they deviate, we tell our kids in private, you know, when you know, it's good that you have fun with your peers and everything, but remember, they're not Muslims. And there's some things that you do that they want to do, and there's some things that they do that you can't do, you know. And if they have to follow your way, you are future leaders of the world, you know, because of what type of goodness a child show you. If it ain't righteousness, you have to let that child know that I appreciate what you're doing, but good ain't good enough sometimes. Mm-hmm. We know that. We tell that a lot of times. People get, when they get inspected, the man said, man, it's a good job you done, but it ain't right. And we can't sell it that way, or we can't give it away that way. They have restrictions too. The same halal restrictions that we have, they have them. But we're the ones not letting their language, good and all this, that sounds so sweet, interfere with us being right. What's for our children?
Mm-hmm.
Look around the world and see that all these years, 1,440-something years, the world has been dictating to us how Muslims are to live. Even though they say
right.
they don't believe in Allah, but they're telling us how to live al-Islam and making us compromise our every action, fornicate our every intelligence, adulterate the things that we do, knowing that it is wrong, but we're trying to please somebody. Like Allah said, are you trying to please me, or are you trying to please the people?
That's right.
When our imams get back to teaching with this brother imam is, with all of his heart, and you who are supporting him, in it because you want the same thing, go back to basics to teach people what halal means. Just go over the definition of halal from an intellectual, emotional, psychological point of view, and then everybody will listen, Muslim or non-Muslim. Because what you're saying is what they believe in. Even if they believe in a tree, they know their tree is telling them to do the right thing if their tree is a god. If their god is a fish, that fish is still showing them. That's why Musa showed the example in our cult. He said, look how the fish travels. Look at the one that's straight. Go straight on and do what he got to do. So whatever they believe in, Allah said he's the Lord and creator of all worlds. He's always giving help to the human being, whether he or she accepts it or not. And then those who wake up, they're supposed to fight oppression so that them people can be free. And halal is the only way we're going to ever see what we're going to see. How can Shaitan has got 2 billion Muslims? Servants now, these ain't just human beings. These are people who have been anointed to the position of a lost servant. And God doesn't want to be kings and this and that. And now we're trying to justify rap in al-Islam. Are you really serious? Like I had to tell a person today. I said, there's nowhere in the Quran where Allah is telling us to vocalize anything. And there's very few instruments that is okay. That is allowed in al-Islam. Some are haram because of the psychological effects it has on the goodness of the heart, or the goodness of the rhythm of the heart, the beat, etc. when we go back to teaching halal and get off the level of foods, we're talking about when the human being becomes halal again and only do what it is created to do by Allah's permission, then we'll see some help for our children. Our children are lost. If we're already lost, because Allah is telling a lot of us, we read a surah, first, and Allah was talking to us when we were going through our period of development. He said, "Verily, y'all are lost, those of you who don't do this, who do that." So you can imagine why our kids are like they are. They're lost.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't been taught what that man mean mine. They haven't been taught, and our grandchildren really are lost, even though they know
mm-hmm.
they have the knowledge. But they don't have the model of what we're supposed to be building.
That's
and everybody wants to allow. Yeah, you see how they went after kosher? Look how many years the word, the definition, the corrupt symbolism that kosher meant to the people. They thought it was right. To work at the meat factory, and I found out that as a security officer, I found out doing my duties, I found out that all that Jewish food, I worked for a Jewish meat packing company, the largest one, well, a few of the largest ones that was in the United States at the time, Sapporo. And they was putting pork casings on that good sausage. Pork casings, buying it by the box, and boxing up that kosher beef and boxing it up and round that sausage out with pork casings. So we have to get again, halal is the way. We have to be like Ibrahim, we had to be with this dawah of propagating halal. We had to be strong, and we had to be clean, and we had to be legit with it. Willing to prove that we don't need nothing but Allah. We don't need nothing but Allah, the Quran, and the life example of Prophet Muhammad. And there's one more other human being that we know that Allah tells us in the Quran. And that is the Mujahideen. Everybody else is just doing their tafsir. But the Arabia never changes. Only the translation changes in French, Japanese, whatever. Accept it. But the Arabia is always straight, and Allah does not force us to go to it. He said, you will naturally go to it when you want clearing, when you want to bring whatever language you speak to its conclusion. And then you take the best there of your language. So that's education all the way around. If we're going to go to the Arabia to find out what Allah said, Allah said, then if you speak English, then you go learn the best words in English on how to say what is in the Quran that Allah bless you to understand. Don't go keep talking street talk. We ain't black no more. We ain't Muslim Americans no more. We don't even use that no word. It is better than Afro-American. We passed up that. We don't even say Muslim American no more. We'd rather go with black or African-American. Just think about it. And so we have to remember that. Halal is the only way. It means clearly in every language across the board, only what Allah permits. Hey, real simple. Now, in closing, this month of Ramadan, Allah said, I made it easy for you. Y'all been listening to everybody, including yourself, all year long. But this month right here is for me. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to take everything from you that is natural, and you know that you need it, and you go and see if you are willfully a Muslim. Which, remember, a Muslim means the one who's taking his will and striving hard to put it in the will of his creator. It ain't all these other things what you say a Muslim is. If you ain't striving to put your will into Allah, otherwise, if you ain't striving to put your will in halal, you just still in the state of office. So again, we have to support this halal. Remember one tahi means one, ahad means one. Except remember one way out of this situation we're in, and that's halal on this level here. And that's the intellect, the emotions, the psychology, the will, all of it's got to be the core. So I pray a lot of the good job that you're doing and the good job that the Imam is doing in China save his own soul first. And then his modelization will let anybody, children, his wife, his cousin, his neighbor, they'll have a model example of that without saying a word.
I mean,
when they see us live this good life of the Quran. Just want to say that. As-salamu alaykum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Brother Muhammad, thank you. Push the one. That's very good inspiration. This is what I'm talking about. This is what Allah made us all different, so we can learn from each other. We share our wealth. And we all striving to be halal or establishing the halal in our surroundings. Even about, as you said, about the kids, the youth, the grandkids, we get an opportunity to get them back, to get there before the street, before society grabs them and destroys them. Here during the Ramadan, what we've been doing is every day we're striving to establish the classes. And as the brother said, get the basics on halal. Whereas after the 30th day, we should already have a program, a basic little program to get us started to continue. Leading the kids, the youth. As he said again, the Muslim, as you're going to be a Muslim, you have to submit your will to Allah. Can't ask for nothing more than that. And that is a basic approach that establishing dealing with the youth today. All we got the opportunity is to do it. And with the help of everyone, well, with the help of Allah, of course, and everyone else, we can succeed. All right, I'd like to just now turn the mic back over to Imam Waleed Bilal. Nate Muhammad, the Halal Industry, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak, thank you, Brother Nate, thank you, Brother James, and Brother Muhammad, thank you for your comments. And thank Allah for the opportunity, no question, to be able to be on AM 360 and use this avenue of conversation to reach those that we can and those who hear. If we hear something that is off, please. The mic when you got something good to say. If you hear something that's off, please say something. Touch the mic. Touch that one on your phone. Let us know you want to say something, and Allah willing, we'll put you on. And we stand as much correcting as anybody else do. You know what I mean? So that's and we're doing it in what way? We're doing it in a way that Allah calls us to do it. Not out of bitterness or anything like that, but we do things. As Muhammad pointed out, our attitude, halal, submissive, humble, prayerful, the way Allah wants us to be. So as I was beginning to say earlier, we are seeing ourselves as humans with an assignment from Allah to manage things on earth. I've been to a few places around the world, and I've always seen humans leading the race of everything. I see that clearly here in America. I didn't need to see anywhere else. But at the same time, I'm saying it because we all know that Allah has given the humanity a treasure to manage, not just the earth, do work in the creation. He's allowed us to do, yeah, birds fly, but he allowed the human to be able to explore the universe. Go with a search to find out what's on the other side. Think about that. When Adam was created, all these things was here, but they wasn't formed yet. They weren't put in shape yet. The power of moving metal through the air wasn't there. Humanity has to be a reminder to humanity. And when I look at our life, when I say ours, I'm talking about the African-American descendants of slaves who became Muslims here in America particularly, not taking none from anyone else. But I have to speak on the life I know, the life I lived. I know my father. I know my mother, my brothers and sisters. For mission, I also know people of all types. Among African Americans, among Caucasians, Hispanic, Arabs, etc., and many other Orientals. And in this, Allah has given us an opportunity to influence humanity to all that is good. And that, yes, I like what Muhammad is saying about more and more about what is halal. That's what Allah calls us to. In other words, the whole humanity is supposed to live in halal. And what Allah allows. We can't be like some people. I remember slaughtering, and I left a brother on the slaughter floor while I went out to the back to look at the animals, to pick the animals I was going to slaughter for that day. And when I came back in, our brothers from over in the east saw me coming through the door, and they kind of froze. I gave them the greeting. They gave it back. But they were froze. And I went to the brother that was with me, who I left in the room, and I had my back to them just on the way he was standing. And I asked him, what's wrong with them? He said, Brother Imam, they just shot those animals that they're going to cause halal. I found that among many of the brothers from over the east. Allah didn't give us a life to live on anything other than Islam. He gave us Islam. We could have came into Islam on our own. There are plenty of people who won't even listen. But Allah has invited us. And Allah has also given us the opportunity to actually lead the world of humans into serving God. He's the one who created us. He knows what we can stand and what we can't stand. How much pressure could be put on us, on the man, that is. And I'm not talking about any particular race. But he's called us in this day and time, here in America, he's called us to the floor. He's given us the opportunity to call mankind to go off as in a race, as it says in the Quran, for all that is good. And my experience has been with other people, they will cheat us. Will they cheat us forever? I don't think so. But if we don't correct everything that is being done, we'll have a cheapened picture of what is Islam. Because we can't accept leadership in it, guidance from it, from those who won't live it. Did we say all Arabs won't live? No. All Pakistanis won't? No. But our experience is for a reason. And as I said, I stopped when I was doing the product regularly, I stopped selling to most foreigners. Because when I go in their market, they had pork there. Mm-hmm. And when I spoke to them about the pork, well, brother, please, these people, they eat pork. You're talking about my people. They don't know no better. They come from a Christian society that eat pork. Yes, brother, but they eat pork. I sell them the pork. It's no problem. No, you're a Muslim. You come from a country that you don't eat pork, or at least you're not supposed to. And then you're going to come here and sell my people pork. That's cutting my arm off, so to speak, if I allow that. A few dollars? No. I can make the dollars with halal without cutting myself short and selling out what Allah has given us. This is what we got to look at. We have to make the community as strong as we had it in the days of the nation. You think it wasn't strong? We influenced everything in America. We had some influence on it. They recognized, they still wanted to call us Negroes or the big N-word or whatever. But they recognized that there was a new life walking through America under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We have people today asking. He didn't know Islam, we agree. He didn't know it before Allah gave it to him, but nor did Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. Allah allowed Muhammad the Prophet to tell us that coming into Islam, we're going to have to go through the same things he went through, but we will become the mercy to humanity. He didn't just say that to African Americans, or at that time, Negroes. He didn't just say it to people of China or anywhere else. He said it to the world of humanity. And he was told by Allah, Muhammad, tell them, tell who? Humanity. Tell them. He didn't ask tell who. He was made to understand. But tell them you are just like them, meaning I'm a human being like the rest of the world, and what Allah gives to me, he gives to them. We have to see that. We've been called to action, so to speak, if I could say it that way. We have to come back alive as one unit working together across this country. Arabic is good to have, no question about it. And those who have it and have it sincerely and work from it sincerely, praise be to Allah. But whatever language we find Allah in, and we do what is right, we get the reward from Allah. Some of us, we get the language, and we use that and cheapen the life itself by thinking you became closer just because you got the Arabic. And you're not closer to Allah. You're talking closer to people that speak Arabic. But we need to teach our young, and as I say, if Allah allowed me to live and see it, where the success of funding is there, I will use some of the wealth push that our schools particularly, Clara Muhammad's, Islamic study schools, that from kindergarten, preschool, to the sixth grade, our children should, by the time they get to the sixth grade, they should know five, maybe six languages. They won't be a slave to nobody from that point. And they won't have to be haughty about it. Oh, I know language, because everybody in the classroom would know. Language is not something we rule by. We get a chance to learn and understand. Those who can't talk, they use sign language. They're able to say things with their hand, talking to people who understand it. There's some people that can speak English or Arabic or whatever real well, can't say. Can't get the message across because they don't understand what they're talking about. But we have to see ourselves building. When we look at the humanity, Allah gave us all the abilities to be, the ability to be a part of what it takes to move the humanity to the place that Allah wants us to be. Shaitan is really a weakling. Shaitan can only disturb you, move you, when you don't know he's present because you don't know anything about it, or when you submit and you want to follow that. You want to follow that path. Standing on the road where Allah wants you to stand, Shaitan won't even come close. He recognized he can't move us. And I'm not talking about Shaitan in somebody else's body. I'm talking about Shaitan won't come into our body. He can't whisper to us. I'm telling you something that I know from my own experience. His whispers don't work. I can do wrong, yes, but not his whispering. I know I can go do wrong. But Shaitan can't whisper from somebody else's body to mine and lead me anywhere, and nor can he do you. Allah has blessed the humanity with the Quran. Read it. Somebody may read it every day, all for an hour or two or more. If you can only get 5 minutes, get that 5 minutes and let Allah bless it to work in you so it builds up. It may never build up to hours. But if you capture what Allah is saying in one ayat each day, you're getting strength that Shaitan can't bother you. We're on our way to building the society. Today is our blessing. It's our blessing to stand up, living the life as one, And we showed the world. When they saw the Nation of Islam stand up, living Islam, they would ask, how did they get it? How did Islam come to them? Most of them couldn't even read. Think about it. When Honorable Elijah Muhammad got the revelation that he should be teaching from Quran, he didn't know how to read the Quran. There were a lot of people that joined, didn't know how to read it even in English. Pick it up in English, but he couldn't read the Arabic. But he pointed us to it. He made us a strong nation of people around this country. And we became strong enough to be a plus to humanity. And that plus called many of our people to be upright who couldn't even read. Especially in the 50s, the 40s, the 50s, many of our people couldn't read anything. Coming out of the slavery, as I often point out, we were punished. So was the teacher. If the teacher was a Caucasian back in slavery time, he might get punished. He might get killed for teaching us to read. Or she may be punished or killed. Because they didn't want us to have any language. But Allah caused us to move through. And look today. We see ourselves everywhere. But we have to bring back the unity. What's missing in our community, and when I say our community, I'm saying those who came through the Nation, those who came through Imam Muhammad. May Allah be pleased with both of them. Have them both go into the paradise, including Clara Muhammad and many of the families that are already gone. Bless them all. But because of their effort that Allah gave, they didn't just go somewhere and learn how to do that. Allah chose them. We have to believe that you got Islam. I got Islam because Allah chose us. He invited us, and we said yes. And for the most part, most of us came insincere. We were sincere in the acceptance of what Allah wanted to give us. And it gave us strength for numbers of years. Strength to actually speak and be represented in every city, every state, by honorable men and women who were then known as the Muslims. Many called us the black Muslims. We know we don't need the black on it. We're submitting to Allah. That's okay if they gave it to us. But we have to see that we have to come, the factor that is missing from us today is our unity.
Mm-hmm.
Our working together as one. I remember the ministers working across the country as one. And years later, after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad died, the whispering that caused people to want to pull away from Imam Muhammad, right here in Philadelphia, one of the lead imams, I knew him well. He told me one day, he pulling away. I told him a couple of things. I said, you know how I felt about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad? I said, I feel the same thing about him. He could be sitting right here. He could be listening. I'm not trying to beat him up. I'm telling you what I said. I said, I love you, but you'll be across the street and I'll be over here. And if you or anybody with you work to go against the imam, you know how I used to do with people who wanted to go against the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or the Nation. I will punish you. And like I said, if he was sitting here, and I don't know, he may be listening, or somebody may be listening that know him. He can take it back. I don't lie. Could I miss a word here or there? Yes, but I don't lie. After the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's death, Imam Muhammad came in office. There were a number of us who had did time in prison. And at least three from Philadelphia were like lead persons helping Imam Muhammad. And Imam Muhammad used to hear our story, how we lived Islam in a prison and caused things to come about in a very good way in prison, helping people come into Islam and find a way to a better life. Imam was so happy with the work that he heard. He attributed this work to the lead person at that time, who the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said is still a captain. He's innocent. He's still the captain of the Delaware Valley. Get him a lawyer and help him. He was the person that got the respect for the work getting done. He may not have done the work, but he definitely got the respect. We made sure of that. So the imam said, I got to do something for you brothers that did all that work up in the prison. Mm. So when the man came home, he told him, come straight to Chicago. He put him in charge of Philadelphia, over the masjid, over Clara Muhammad. And what a lot of people didn't know, those who were around, you may remember at one point under the imam, supreme captain was no longer mentioned as the supreme captain. He didn't do nothing wrong. But he gave the office to this man that I'm talking about. And in giving the office to this man, he made him the consultant for all the men in the nation. So when the man was talking to me about leaving, I told him, you render back your trust. Give him back the masjid. Give him back the leadership of the school. Give him back that position of consultant over the men. This man, by Allah's permission, blessed you to come home, live in the leadership. Didn't even know you, never met you. We got him up to the prison one time before, at least one time, Imam Muhammad, that is, up to the prison at least one time to meet him while he was in prison. But all that benefit came from people loving, and I still love a brother. You know, if you love somebody, that don't mean you can't keep them in check. You can't tell your head on your shoulder, by Allah's permission, has a body to take care of it. If the head slips, just because he's the head, you can't let it just slip. You got legs, hands, feet, everything you need, tongue, eyes, to protect it. Too many people let a leader say the wrong thing. No, you get Allah says to the angel Jibril when he was giving the message to Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, tell him to look into the creation. I read this hadith back in 1973 while I was away. A number of hadiths, but I mean, I read the books from cover to cover. He said, look and tell him to look into creation. Then he told him to tell him to look into himself. Now, I could think what's going into myself. I can't see all the creation, nor could Muhammad the prophet. And the modern technology that we have today to look at things, he didn't have. His mind might not even stretch this far, but he didn't have nothing to go with it. Creation to him to look out would be just looking out into the skies and whatever his eyes seen, that's what he saw. For us today, you can look into creation in many ways. You got books, you got programs, you got movies, you got plenty of ways to look into the creation. You don't have to even look into the sky. Just pull a book off the shelf. So he was telling him something, but in that, to me, what that meant is my whole body is part of a creation to share with the head. My brain don't work, yours don't either, in the proper manner without your eyes, your ears, your nose, your mouth, your hands, your sensitivities of your body. Then your brain works. You feel a pinch somewhere, on anywhere on your body. It's your brain that registers that. And then your brain uses a part of the body to fix it, whether you got a scratch, whether you got to pull something that's sticking to you, or whatever the case may be. That's how we, by Allah's blessing on the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's how we worked as a nation. The mind saw it, and some of us was eyes. Could have been the captains, could have been the lieutenants, could have been the ministers. Some of us was ears. That's what we got to get back to. It doesn't make a difference whether the final call, and I'm not talking about the paper, is for the leadership to be in any part on this earth. Don't make a difference about that. We got to get back to working as one. If we see ourselves working as one, we will see what it means to be the mercy to humanity. As our brother Muhammad got on and mentioned halal, we got to see that halal will put us there. If we show our unity, not for show, but what we had once upon a time, we can recognize that there are some among us today that never had that. They didn't come in during the nation. They may sit among some of us and kind of condemn, try to condemn the nation. They got a little Arab stuck in their brain. We're not supposed to be anybody else. We're supposed to help everybody, but we ain't supposed to be anybody else. I'm a descendant of slaves. There's some other brothers from Africa that's here. They're not descendants of slaves. They came over to these shores more recently. I don't care how many years you go back, more recently. They had a baby over here, their baby, because they're the parents of Africa. Their babies are Africans. But because the baby was born here in America, they're African Americans. But they're not the African Americans like we are. We're descendants of slaves. There's a favor Allah has put upon us. You know, when you take an ignorant person that can't read and give them the Quran, you got a blessing. Couldn't read English. 1930, think about that. Our people couldn't read English. And being taught by a little man, little big man, as the imam would say, born 1897, who got no more than a third grade. I hear sometimes somebody say fourth grade, but it was always third grade when the imam was around. But got a third grade education. And today, with all the technology, all the ability to see around the world without moving out of a room, think about that. You can be locked in your basement or anywhere in your house or in a safe. And there's gadgets in there that could be in there with you. You touch a button and you can see anywhere on earth like the people were standing right there with you. You can hear their voice anywhere on earth. They didn't have that during the days of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We got that today. But the blessing came to him from Allah. Brad Muhammad, the teacher, master teacher. That's what they called him back in the day, master, the teacher. He's not God. He wasn't God then, and he's not God now. Well, he used to be called God. Let Allah, the God, the creator, let him deal with that. If he was wrong and meant it in the wrong way, and there's a punishment to come, then Allah will give him that if that's what it is. But if forgiveness, even if he was wrong, if forgiveness is to come, Allah will give him that. I know my studying of him because, as I said, I took the material to Vietnam with me. I read How to Live, Message to the Black Man, a minimum of at least four times a month. I read the Quran, the Bible, at least three or four times in a year, cover to cover. And what came to me was Allah allows us to move in a certain manner. Did it all come to me then? No, over time, but a lot came to me then, that this man was blessed with some. But in the material I read, even though I seen some words in How to Eat to Live, some words in Message to the Black Man that was for man, but when I read the Quran, I heard God. And what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave us as Master Farad, I found out even when I got home. As soon as I got home, I joined the nation. And what I found was he said he was born, that is Farad Muhammad was born, the son of Afonso and Gigi. Now that is automatically, I learned that in Philadelphia when I got home. But I had heard a little something before I got that. I don't remember right now if it came out of the Message to the Black Man or How He Lived. But it was clear when I got it in one of the orientation classes in Philadelphia, 1969. He wasn't talking about Farad being God, being born of Afonso or Gigi. I had a cousin named Gigi. Don't even sound like a God could be born from that. He gave us symbols, and those symbols were to show us something. But the reading of the Quran was clear. The Quran was, he's alone in his position. No mistake about it. And like I said, I read it at least three, but probably four times that year. While I was in Vietnam, every chance I could get to read, I read. So here we got someone that connected us with the God, built up the trust in each of us that we can stand up and we can build something. We got after his death, before his death, excuse me, some corruption came in. That don't change the fact who Allah was. He poured it at the pitcher, a couple pictures of Farah, the one with the Quran that he's reading from. Why would God read the Quran? What he need to remember? So Wallace, his son, at that time, he said it like that. Wallace, you hold the Quran and stand right here beside me. Put your hand on my shoulder. Putting his hand on the shoulder represented, sit down, Dad, I got it. Picture in the background with Farad is, he had it. He's reading it, trying to learn it, but you got the book now. You carrying it. Those were the messages I got when I came in 1969. Those symbolism tell you he didn't see him as God, saw him as a master teacher. He said when you looked at the picture, when he returned, he won't look like that. Means stop looking for him to be God. That man ain't no God. We ain't got to beat him up. No, Farad Muhammad, we honor the work that he did in bringing Islam by Allah's permission to America and gave it to him. When we buried the imam, I'm standing there, took a picture of one of the imams out of Philly, and my son, my oldest son, I took a picture of them three with the son of Farad Muhammad. Farad Muhammad's around here making babies. He had a wife. He's not God. There are so many things that was in the life ear that would show us that he wasn't given to us as God, but he was given us to him. He was given him to us as a master teacher, as he used that term from time to time. We have to see that we are in place to help our people, but we got to want to do it. And I didn't say it yet, but I have to say it, that if anyone has a question, a statement, a suggestion, want to join in and say something, please touch the one on your phone, and I will see it. Once I see it, I will push that and allow you to speak to us all, whoever's on the phone listening or wherever they're listening from. So don't hesitate. Touch the one if you have something to say. So getting back just a moment before we take a break, when we look at what Allah gave us in the Quran, we read it. He don't want us to just be readers. We're painting, if I can use that term, we're painting our soul with what he want us to have, our hearts with what he want us to have, our spirit with what he want us to have. Honesty, that's first for us. Those of us who are born with the color skin, skin color, black, brown, falling in this family of African-Americans, Africans, we're not to be nobody else. Why would you want to be an Arab? And if you're an Arab, why you want to be someone else? Allah gave us the skin that he gave us to identify the work is to be done. Bilal was heckled by the companions before the prophet died and after. Before the prophet died, the prophet told him he should be the leader. Bilal told him, while he was ill, he told him, they won't follow me. Who was he talking about they? The people of Arabia? The people of Medina? Today's Medina? No. He was talking about his companions that were sitting right there with him every day. When they had a dress talking to each other, they were sound, as we use that term. They were sound Bilal, old black Bilal. This was the companions, these great companions. They couldn't help themselves. They themselves couldn't get racism out of themselves. But that was a sign for us not to hate them, not to dislike them, but to know the reality that Allah put certain things in all of us. We have to be big enough to recognize if Allah made us with a skin color, there's work we got to do among our own people. But don't, first, that's right, but don't be an Arab. Don't be a Caucasian. Look how many years coming out of slavery, too many of our people wanted to act like now they wanted to be Caucasian. Be yourself. Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell us, stand up and be yourself. What is yourself? Yourself is a righteous Muslim. We don't lose that. If your skin burn off, you don't lose that. You still walking around? Be the righteous Muslim. Person, the individual that make people want to be you. Teach them away from being you. They got to be themselves. But make them want to be you in the way that you serve Allah. This is what we got to do. We are today's mercy to humanity. And again, all I say to prove that, the Quran says it. Muhammad the Prophet said it in Hadith. But at the same time, look around the world today how ugly it is. I was looking on the news today. Some of us may have seen it. They locked up three officers. I forget what state it was in. They was raping inmates. They locked them up. Matter of fact, they had the trial. They were shown the trial.
Mississippi,
Nate says, so he saw it too. You're supposed to be the guard and you raping inmates. Look at the ugly world. It needs some guidance. And those same ugly characters will stand over somebody like they're the just fair ones. Now, we got to change what things are. How they're supposed to work for us. That's what we got to do. We have to recognize that we didn't just get this faith. Allah invited us. He brought us in. And in him bringing us in, he knows best. The Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, said to his companions, Islam will return to people just as it did to us. It'll go to the most rejected. He used some other terms, but he was speaking about the ones on the bottom, the ones that nobody want to hear nothing from. It's ours to be today. In America, nobody in America wanted to look up to us, even if we was taller. They didn't want to look up to us. Around the world, when they come to America, they don't want to look up to us. They want to look down on us. We're nothing. Why? Because we were the descendants of slaves. But Allah did that. Allah allowed that to happen. So I'm going to touch the mic for 706 627. Look like Muhammad. Come on back on. Your mic is open.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. And I was so moved by what you just said. That we better realize that if we don't make sure that everybody knows that Allah mm-hmm. God Muhammad is his messenger, so that won't nobody
yes.
ever be, again be on the bottom. You know.
There you go.
And that's why the halal life that Allah invites us to, everybody gets freedom, justice, and equality. Nobody will go home.
That's right.
Nobody will go to no changes. So we better realize
that's
that
right.
the things that are going on in this earth right now,
yes.
especially those who are descendants of African slaves and especially descendants of the Muslim African slaves who came over here, because it's their dua
yes.
is the reason why we're here
that's
now,
right.
all of us, you know. And their trust
mm-hmm.
had faith in Allah will bring their sacrifice to benefit those who come after them, you know.
I mean.
But
yeah.
we got to make sure. Thank Allah much for this small favor of being able to gauge that all the hell we see going on this earth, it's the believers' fault.
I mean.
Because we are told
I mean,
to, like, if we're following the example of the message that's in the prayer of Ibrahim, we say our life and our death is for this year. You know,
that's right.
We ain't gonna let nobody walk into no Islamic environment and be mistreated, be
I mean,
raped, robbed,
right.
murdered. You know, ignorant and all that, you know. And ignorant don't mean what
that's
everybody
right.
keep thinking
that's
in this reverse psychology over here. Ignorant means when you ignore mm-hmm. what is right to do something wrong.
That's
you
right.
Except you're surprised when you get busted, when you wake up in the hellfire,
mm-hmm.
you know.
So,
yeah,
mean,
that's right, buddy.
Yeah.
Wow, boy, right on point. So our job is, and we keep talking about what we want to do for everybody there and all like that, but we ain't done for self yet.
How
are you
going to
do something for somebody and you ain't done for yourself yet with what Allah has given you? And the responsibility to model it and live it.
I mean.
And share it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But that's right over, right. So we got to make sure that, and then we told in closing, we were really told real clear in the Quran, you know, our obligation is to the orphan, the wayfarer, the needy, et cetera. Until we do that.
I mean.
Then we know how close we are following the Quran. We know how much we are following the path. Who only had Allah as his guide and his protector and maintain.
That's right.
You know. Yep. So hey, it's you got on that, bro. I appreciate that. That was I like that.
Law word.
Because you crown Allah for Brother Bilal saying that right there. You see, because that's what we need to do. Make sure this don't happen no more. Again, what happened to us. And that's exactly
that's
what Shaitan is trying to do with the imps that he got working for him to do it. Put us right back in the grave.
That's right.
This time they're going to sacrifice us every day until there ain't none. Because they got some other slaves lying
that's
down.
Right.
They already
that,
got
right.
They already got them the ones who hate us because they see us getting what they are a slave to get, had to be a slave to get, you know, and doing all this perverted and crazy things to get it, you know, letting this dude drive them through the hellfire. I mean,
while they're going to sign, thank you, my brother. Touch the one on your phone, and that way if you want to come back, we'll see that you came back. Yeah, so we're going to take a break. Jesus Allah, we'll take a break.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us every Wednesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for an edition of the Halal Industry Do For Self with your host, Imam Wali Ayub Bilal, President, Founder, and CEO of Bilal Zinc, and co-hosts James Bashir and Nick Muhammad. The interest of Bilal Zinc is to establish economics for the African-American people, descendants of the slaves of America. This program is to encourage people to unite and to build economic strength to establish community life by doing for self to build the model community. Connect at am360.org and 24-hour streaming at 701-719-4197. Call in live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA, email us at info@cwsc.us, excuse me, call in live, speak to the host, hold up, call on live to speak to the host at 515-605-9891 or 425-292-4253. 4253.
Yeah, I know.
Share comments at info@cwsc.us. Tweet at CWSHURAA. Email us at info@cwsc.us. Visit am360.org. PAN Corporation. Community-wide Shore Conference at CWSC.us, or leave a listener comment at 910-317-0297.
Thanks, Brother James. This is Nate Muhammad again, the Halal Industry. Do for self. I just wanted to, thing came to my mind when I was listening to Imam Bilal about an experience. I worked in the construction field for 35 years, and I happened to function independently without anybody directing me as far as. And I happened to, my dealings, well, I was taught, first of all, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to go out and learn the white man's way. So I was out learning the way. I wasn't out trying to be like him or look like him. I just wanted to learn the way and bring back the information to our people and help to build our community. But I couldn't help it because all of my dealings with them was always a handshake. I told them I'd do certain things, and they said okay, and we shook hands on it, and that's what we did. So I wound up with them for over 22 years dealing with them. But one day, the superintendent came to me, and, you know, the setup they have, you got project exec, project and manager, and general superintendent. They the one run the whole job, the whole structure. But they came to me one day, and this is the general superintendent, and he said that George, he was the project exec, he owed you. And I would say, owe me? He don't owe me nothing. We made a deal. Well, I had a handshake deal with you. I'm satisfied. We said what we were going to do, and we did what we said. He said, yes. I understand that. He said, but if it hadn't been for you, these guys wouldn't have graduated, or they wouldn't have been promoted to the project execs and the project manager. And I looked at him, and that didn't bother me because I did what I said. You know, my word was bond, you know, and he looked at it because he seen the effort, because we brought in a lot of big jobs on time and the company made money. That's what they get promoted, or they get promoted based on how much money they bring in. They bring in to the company. And I'm sitting there saying, nah, man, I'm taking this information home and share it with the believers, because that goes back to the show that we've made everybody successful from our doings. And because I thought about what he was saying later, and he was just giving you the props and respecting what you did. He didn't try to take nothing away from you or whatnot. And that just goes to show our people, the African American descendants of slaves, everybody progressed on our back. We want to do today is do for self. As the brother said, go back to basic and establish halal. But we have to unite first. We have to unite in Allah's name to move this forward, because we can do it, because we did it and didn't know we were doing it. Now we know we can do it. We can do it. We can get it done. But we have to bring everything. If you remember all the things that Imam Bilal was talking about, bringing everything back to lead with what Allah wants. Everything, Allah, it starts with Allah, it's going to end with Allah. And we know Allah is in charge of everything. And we know that when he's ready to give us our profit or ourself, be successful,
you do it. But he already gave us, like I said, the warning as that earlier we talked about with the kids. There's our little salvation. They are our future. They're the one we got to shape and mold. They can bring them back to the basics of a halal. They don't have to go through the haram stuff that we done went through and digested and spit it out. We can come pure halal to them because we know. And they are the ones that we need to put our attention to right now. But I said that the imams had to come together. Imam had a long time to come together. They just had a majlis ashura meeting, all the imams talking about the problems in the Islamic community, but they never said nothing about themselves. Never said anything about themselves. The imam had to eliminate the petty differences and stopping us from progressing as Muslims, the way Allah wants. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because we already been on the back end of a lot of this stuff. But Allah is still Akbar. We still have to labor hard because we know. We done, at an age right now, we done seen the outcome of a lot of things. And we definitely know what to do and what not to do now. And this is by Allah's permission. He always show you the right and the wrong. That's why he brings you through all of this. And it's our time now. It is our time now. And everybody knows it but us. Everybody is aware of it but us. But we still get another opportunity to redeem everything by functioning and zero in on our youth right now. That's my goal. And we have a direction for them, the halal industry. We want them to do for self. But we have to unite first. We have to unite them. Then teach them to do for self.
Mm-hmm.
And our destination is to build a model community. But that model community, we already built it within ourselves. We the example for them. We the one going to have to show them. They're going to put their trust in it. It's just like your kids, your grandkids, your family, all your nieces and nephews. You take them out, they trust your judgment. They look for you to give them guidance. But Allah already conditioned us and established the halal way of going about doing it. We think we done struggle these 30, 40 years in the religion. That was meant to happen. Now we can stand up and take our rightful place from a halal disposition. No way we're going to get away from being halal, because we don't have to worry about haram. All we have to do is we want to look at haram. All we have to look behind us, because that's where we just come from. Going forward, all we see is paradise. Success, the way Allah say do it. So with that, I just wanted to share that there because I couldn't help it, but I had to bring that to the attention about the construction thing, because we have always made everybody rich, wealthy. Matter of fact, everybody want to build up in our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and strike for all the financial welfare out of our people without giving nothing back.
Mm-hmm.
And by our people is being heavy-hearted, they want to blame and take the frustration out on each other. We don't want that. We want to appeal to the people, sincere, as the brother said, as that Muslim, and build the world up and build it around pleasing Allah. With that, then I'd like to, or if anybody have any questions, suggestions, or anything to say, feel free to push one, and we'll bring you on right away. Again, here, this is Nick Muhammad. Oh, here we go. Hannah.
Muhammad,
you again. Press the one. The mic is open.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Again, I was going to say, we had to remember that this wonderful
month of purity and bearing witness that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger, we had to remember that we need to ask Allah as a group across the United States, especially those who are in the community of Imam Wardi Muhammad, to plan to have next Ramadan, inshallah, invite everybody to the Islamic fast, the fast that is for and participate in a united world prayer during this month. You know, to the mercy that has been sent to mankind, and also in closing, to also we need to ask Allah to bless us to establish this halal reality, you know, and make this the last Ramadan Shaitan permission to practice his respite on us. We have
In
clan, I hope that we can plan another halal convention. This is the month to ask Allah to let us do it again, do it better than the last time. But it's definitely a must. Mm-hmm. We have to tell the world about halal, what the Arabic word halal means, and how it is, is need for everyone to know. So then when we establish it, the door is always wide open, you know.
Appreciate that,
brother, man.
Yes, sir, my brother. Brother Muhammad, touch the one on your phone also, and that way if you hit it again, we know you're back. So, yes. This is Iman Wali Ayu Bilal once again. Allow industry do for self. And we thank Allah for this opportunity as always. You know, we educate ourselves. You know, when I came in the nation, 1969, until the day that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, the Nation of Islam was the most motivated body of African-American descendants of slaves in America. Okay. And not just motivated in a sense of just saying, well, we better or anything like that. But it gave the spirit to our people that we could do something. And it was Islam that was backing that spirit. We were mostly people from the Bible, those of us that were still in it. But what changed the life, what gave us a comfort of something to show, was that Allah invited us to practice Islam. And that introduced us to the conduct of what was halal. Did everybody stand as they should? No. The majority did, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody. Somewhere along the line, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad passed, some of the imams, not all of them, but some, put themselves in a place that they couldn't explain where we was at. Brother Muhammad, I don't know if you touched the one or didn't, but touch it to erase the hand. And then if you want to get back on, touch it again. But let it go out once at least so we can see. That's Brother Muhammad. Our introduction to Islam in the days of the nation made us become strong as a people wanting to serve God and do something for self. We wasn't working off of the anguish of anger of any type or what happened to us. Allah blessed us to see a light in Quran that was balanced for every human being that accepted it, especially us, but we saw it. We recognize the history of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him. Any of us of good sense, we didn't leave the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as a way of rejecting him. No, we accept him. We would not have had Islam in any manner if Allah hadn't given him to us like that. We didn't go get it. We didn't teach him. Allah gave it to him.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing for us to feel ever to feel shame about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, people are using the terms these days that he didn't have anything. Well, don't be hesitant to say what the prophet said. Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, didn't have anything. Some of the people of Muhammad the prophet, when they heard what he about his movement. They couldn't believe it, but they had to one day admit it. Abu Sufyan was one of them. That where is he getting this from? We know he's not educated. He only could have gotten this from God. He began to bear witness in secret, but not so secret that nobody heard it. It was heard. And if nothing else heard it as an entity, Allah heard it. The angels heard it. And it was recorded. That where did he get it from? They were trying to reject him because they know he wasn't educated. Some of our people don't know that. The prophet, prayers be upon him, was not an educated man. But he was the one chosen. And he made the comment, every time that Allah want to raise a people up or bring them to the Islam, the submission of their will to God itself, he will find people like he found us. He was speaking about himself. People on the bottom, people who had nothing, who were ignorant. And if you study, they say the Arabs was the most ignorant people on earth back then. Because every time they go to a people, it'll go to people like that. Today, it came to us. When Islam was given to us, it was erased from the slave parents. They wouldn't let them pray. They restricted them that they better not be caught praying. They did many things, whipped some of them, set some of them on fire, hung some. All those things was happening. So if they were happening, then I said, if that was happening, we have to recognize that there was enough fear put into the Muslims who were made slaves that the actual picture of Islam died out in America with them. They couldn't practice it. And if they were found being educated by anybody, they would be punished and the educator would be punished. And the only ones that could educate them was a Caucasian, a white man, or a white woman. And they wasn't really wanting to jeopardize their self. My sister, I see your hand up. 111111. Your mic is open.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you're telling so much truth about this is why it's important for us to know, honor, and tell our history, keep our history alive,
yes.
Because
I mean.
We have, and this is what I've told I had five who are now adult children. One son has passed a few years ago, returned to Allah, sadly, in a sad way. But, and everyone that's in the area, all the people, even
yes.
my non-Muslim relatives, because they always wanna try to placate and understand why did you become Muslim? Why? What is it that? And then I would go into the history of
yes.
We were taken from our original homeland.
Yes,
we were snapped. Mm-hmm. from there, and this
That's
is
right.
why they don't want Islam. They tried to separate us from our Islamic roots. And I'm so happy
yes.
that we have so many scholars in our community, because we have those other Muslims from overseas, different ones, regardless of what country they're from. Some of them even
yes.
that look like
yes.
us, African or whatever, Indonesia,
yes.
Turkey,
yes.
But
yes.
a lot of them, they have to know, and some of them know and some do not, that we have a authentic historical connection to this way of life.
Yes.
We are very, very, very proud to tell this, you know, and I'm
yes,
one that does
yes,
not
ma'am.
Like to do dawah, but I'll tell people quick in a minute, quick, fast, in a hurry.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We paved the way for you all to be able to come here.
That's
the,
right.
The Immigration
That's
Act
right.
and all of that, through civil rights. And,
right.
and what should, as Malcolm would say, it should have been human rights because he went before the
yes.
UN. But what I'm saying is that, you know, we have so much history to be proud of. We have,
I'm thinking
of all the scholars, you know, Nana Asmahu and, you know, Queen, so many queens and warriors that fought on the battlefield with the men, you know, in the Prophet
yes.
peace be upon him
yes.
time, and all the teachers and scholars that taught, you know, all these sciences. This is where the Europeans
yes.
learned everything from, and they took it and stole it. So we have
yes.
to tell this. And on those slave
That's
ships,
right.
and I'm going to shut up after this, on those slave ships, not only
Take
did they
time.
Burn, hang, lynch, cut off extremities,
yes.
penises,
yes.
foot,
all that.
Everything, if we were even thought of or found out to be learning or trying to read, write, or
That's right.
Run away. You know, there were Muslims
yes.
in
yes.
those slave ships that, you know, they had to dumb down and hide their Islam. The ones that
That's
were
right.
that were still practicing. You know, they would find
yes.
out who each other was. Are you from Wolof? Are you from this and that? You know, and
yes.
you know, some
yes.
of them are sold off. So people need to know that we are not a shameful people, as some try to characterize us as. We have a lot
yes,
to be
yes.
proud of. And I was just talking to my son today. He called me today, my son that just got out of prison for a crime he didn't commit. He said, Mom, I'm telling you now, you know, all of that, he was saying thank you. He said, all of that you used
yes.
to be telling us about. He said, man, I see it.
Right,
he said, now I'm telling other people because, you know, I didn't want to. But he said, he was just telling me today, thank you. And that almost
yes.
brought tears in my eyes. And my son, you know, he remembered. He was like,
yeah.
he was like, yeah, yeah. So I just wanted to say that.
Salaamu alaikum. Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you very much, my sister. And touch the one on your phone. That way we know you went off. And if you want to go back on, you touch it again. Yes, ma'am. So all of us, we have to see that. And our imams. I mean, I said to the imams that I see as an imam to an imam. We have to show our oneness. We don't take the back seat because we didn't know Arabic. We followed the Quran in English. Allah said, I make you different so you learn from one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how the humanity gets strong. We don't know Arabic, Allah said to them. Teach them and speak to them in their own language so they can't say they didn't understand. That's in Quran. So I tell people, if you know so much Arabic, and back then I used to teach a little Arabic, I said, why you don't know that? You know, you speak it, but you ignore that part. Allah's prophet, prayers and peace be upon his messenger, our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, Messenger Muhammad. He told his companions, and I like to always add, the best of his companions. When you come to a people and you don't speak their language, don't teach them and don't lead them. Give them the five, in other words, the five pillars. and let them teach themselves. And he told the men, if you are wearing clothes, these people that you come to, that their women are wearing, thobes, they weren't wearing thobes, they were wearing something else, thobes became big later, then you change and wear whatever their men are wearing. Already had these instructions 1,400-some years ago. Don't go in wearing your clothes. Wear what they wear. And he also told them in that particular speech, that talk. And don't change their culture. So we came through slavery. We didn't dance and everything during slavery. But we sang through the fields. Some of it was a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sometimes we got to run. We got to run. Here come master. Here come master. Whatever had to be said, sometime it was in song. It was in that. Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, took his wife Aisha. And I always picture it because it said he went to like the back of the house. And I picture it like outdoors and everything. They didn't have outdoors. But he sat down at the end of the back of the door looking into what they expressed as a yard. Now, I'm seeing modern. I wasn't seeing their time. And Aisha, being fairly small, young, leaned on his shoulder to watch. He said, I want to show you how they entertain themselves, part of their culture. And they showed brothers look like Bilal, he said. So they was black. It was African, excuse me. He said they were there, and they watched them, the hadith says, as they played their skins, bongos, or whatever they may have been called, and then them playing them, hitting them, making music, they danced. People tell us we can't hear music. That's part of our culture. But keep it in the right place. Now don't come up dancing with my wife, and I don't want to dance with yours. But the key is, if we entertain ourselves with some songs, That don't take us to hell unless you're listening to the wrong stuff. Now, I'm not telling us to party in the masjid, but my point is we can't be afraid to read the Quran, read the hadith, and formulate the right things in our life. We already got them. Honorable Elijah Muhammad helped us with plenty of that, and we can't lose our history. So they ended. We got 10 seconds left. The next time they say something, it'll be 10 seconds left. So we thank you very much for being with us this week, and we pray that we can encourage our imams around the country. Don't look so Arab. Be yourself. When we get this halal, Allah bless us to get this halal, we're going to open up some plants that will make our clothes like Imam Muhammad said do.
Amen.
Wear our style.
We need it back.
We need it. We need it. And we can do it. So our goal, Bilal's Inc., the halal industry, is to create industry. And we'll use the wealth to create more industry. May Allah bless everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
That's bad.
Oh, yeah.